for our baptismal candidates. We have, if everybody shows up, we should have 10 this morning we're going to baptize. And I'm really happy because many, many of those are first-time baptisms. The first question I ask, old Jacob, I ask him why he wants to be baptized. And he just gave me a look. He didn't have to say anything, he just gave me a look. And when he did that, I told him, I said, the answer is great because I would bet that a great majority of the people in this room right now don't understand the ordinance of baptism. You may have been baptized, but you don't understand all the things that went on. Were you baptized? Yes, I was baptized. Why? Well, that's what I had to do to join the church. Or I was baptized. Why were you baptized? I don't know. Talk to my mom. She had me baptized when I was a baby. Or all these kind of things. And I got to thinking about this last night, and I thought, I'm going to teach this morning about baptism and the importance of baptism. It's one of the what we call ordinances of the church. The church that you came out of, understanding that there's all kinds of denominations here this morning, but we're all a family of God. It's just some of you broken down that wall and you've come. We're all part of the family of God. Some of you have come from different aspects of it, but I want to teach this morning, and I want to emphasize what the Bible says about baptism and not so much about what the teachings of men are. We can go to the Bible and we can find the answer to every question we've got about anything, okay? Let's pray. Father, this morning, I ask, Lord, for your anointing. I ask, Lord, that more than anything, this be a message and not a sermon. Lord, we don't need any more sermons. We need messages from the throne of God. We need to hear from you in a new and a greater, a mightier way now than we have ever in our lives. Lord, we look at the world that we live in right now. Seemingly, the wheels have fallen off of our nation. The wheels have fallen off the world, Lord. We understand your plan. We know you have a plan. But Lord, we need to hear from you with clarity and precision that plan. Asking you, Lord, this morning to bless what we do. Bless what we do because I believe we're doing it because you want it done. I thank you for everyone that's here. Open up ears, spiritual ears, hearts this morning to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans chapter 6, truly a very important passage of Scripture found in this chapter. What shall we say then in verse 1? What shall we say? Paul is going through and summarizing what he's been teaching in chapter 5. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may increase? God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that we who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we talk about baptism, we're not talking about a religious ritual. The church is very good at doing that, of taking something very important in the faith and turning it into a ritual. Bill Johnson said it best, I think. He said one time, he said, if the Last Supper would have been a spaghetti feed, we would still be having spaghetti feeds today. if Jesus would have said, this is how you make disciples, you have a clam chowder fest and everybody come in green suits and orange sparkly hats, we would still be doing that. Not because of what it meant, because of how it came about. And Jesus had a way of doing it. But you know, I really don't like orange hats. Let's take that out and just say that we can come in green suits. And it doesn't have to be clam chowder. It can be alfalfa sprouts if you want. So we'll say, okay, no, we're going to do it, but you can change it a little bit here. And this is exactly what happened. An ordinance of Jesus Christ turned into something totally different. A teaching that sometimes is put to the back burner in churches. They don't even talk about it. It's one of those add-on things. Some good questions came up this morning about why didn't they teach this in the church I was in? Because their teaching said they didn't have to teach it, and it was different than what the disciples did. It's an ordinance of the church. It's ordained or ordered of the Lord. When we talk about baptism, we're not talking about a traditional teaching. We're talking about a service where there is an event where the people who are being baptized are identifying with that cross of Calvary. They go back to an old rugged cross. They go back to a place where Jesus took their sin from their bodies. They go back to a place where Jesus died. He was buried. The third day He rose from the dead. That's what baptism is all about. It's not simply something that we do to join a church, to identify with the church. It has a very specific, holy, if you were, meaning. So the candidates who come this morning have come out of a quest, as it were. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, Bob, you might turn me down a little bit. I can hear myself getting, and I watched Steve back there, and Steve goes, I know it's time to turn it. Thank you. Thank you. And here's this old thing. Ordinance, order, commandment, the great commandment. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and 19. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Go and make disciples of all nations. In fact, the way the Greek was written there, it's more interesting. It actually means, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have taught you. So baptism is a command of Christ. It is an ordinance. Some churches, and you may have come out of that church, teach that baptism is a sacrament. It is necessary to get to heaven. It's not necessary to get to heaven. You may come from a church that does teach that. We'll just keep your mind open for just a little bit. But Christ has told us to do this. Candidates are coming forward and say, why am I doing this? One, because Christ told me to do this. And I'm just honoring His Word. Wouldn't it be good if we just started honoring the Word of God? Wouldn't it be good if we just started doing the Word of God? Wouldn't it be good if we listened to James when he says, be not only hearers of the Word, but be ye doers of the Word also. You know, things might change for us. It really might change for us if we took the whole Word of God and said, I'm going to do this, whatever it says, and I ain't going to take this part because I like this part, and I'm not going to throw that one out because I don't like that part, and we just begin to do what Jesus says. Jesus came to this earth to show us what the Father was like. Jesus came to this earth to show us not only to teach us with words, but to show us by example, this is what the Father is like. God loves you so much that He sent me to show you the things that He did and that I might give my life for you. So we come today to the place of baptism. saying to the Lord, I'm doing this because you told me to. I'm a disciple of Christ. Disciples do things like Jesus. There's a story told of a Jewish rabbi who had a teaching. He had Talmidim. Talmidim are his students, his own little school. And they would actually follow him into the restroom because they were hoping they might learn a new prayer that he prayed while he was washing his hands or whatever. They just wanted to know what their teacher was doing and what he was saying. They wanted to be Talmidim, disciples of that rabbi. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus came to John in the river and he told John, he says, John, baptize me. And John told him, he says, not so, Lord. I've got need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no. Thus it becomes for us to fulfill all righteousness. This is a step. We're doing something now that fulfills, that builds up, that fills in all righteousness. I'm going to come, Lord, because you told me to come. I want to be righteous in Jesus Christ. And if Jesus tells me, you know, you need to do this, I want to do this. I want to do it. I don't know what comes. If all I get out of this is a certificate, that's okay. But I'm going to do it because Jesus told me to do it. No, it ain't about a certificate. It's about following the Master in all the ways. It's an ordinance of the Lord. We have ordinances. We have sacraments. We don't have sacraments in this particular church. We have ordinances. We have communion. We have baptism. And the Church of God teaches another one that most people don't ever see. And that's washing the saints' feet. We haven't done that for a while here. But I'll tell you what, you talk about a powerful moment is when you get down in front of somebody and you take their feet in your hands and you begin to wash them like Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Bob, how fast can we get 75 pans ready? I say that somewhat jokingly because all you have to do is to go from a service of 200 to a service of 20 is say we're having foot washing tonight.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it just doesn't happen anymore. Because it humbles us. It should humble us to do anything that Jesus did. Because He humbled Himself enough to come to this world. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He humbled Himself, came to this earth and died the death of the cross. So it's an ordinance that we go through. It's something that Jesus said we ought to do. If you're a disciple, you need to do the things that Jesus did. What is baptism? Probably the question is answered the easiest or the best answer to the question is, it is an outward sign of an inward change. When Christ does what He does in your life, when Christ takes you from where you were and puts you in a brand new kingdom of light, when you are removed from the darkness you walked in and brought into this new kingdom, now I am showing the world this is what has happened to me. I told the students this morning, when you were Jewish, you were also baptized. It's not a purely Christian doctrine. The Jews also baptized people. If you were a Greek and you wanted to become a Jew, you were a proselyte. Read about it in the New Testament. It mentions a proselyte. Now I want to be a Jew. The rabbi would say, okay, this is what you got to do. You renounce your old faith. Number two, if you're a man, you are circumcised. And number three, you are baptized. They would take you into the pool called the mikveh. It was a baptismal pool, and the rabbi would take you down, dunk you in the water, and take you out. And now you are ceremonially clean. You are ceremonially clean because when you went into that water, you told the rabbi, I repent of all of my sins. So John comes to the River Jordan, baptizing people, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first words, repent. I wonder if we could listen to that one a little bit. Turn your back, turn your mind around about sin and repent of sin and be baptized. So the Jews were doing it before John was doing it, before Jesus was doing it, before the disciples were doing it. It's a doctrine. It's something that we can find reference in the Bible. And Jesus comes and he says, John, he says, this is how we want to fulfill all righteousness. A simple act of faith, of going down in the water and coming back up. I unify myself with Christ. Now this brings up the question. I want to address this. Am I saved because I was baptized? Don't have to go into that one very much. Seems like you all got your minds fixed on that one. Churches teach today. Lots of different churches teach today that baptism saves you. You're not completely saved until you've been in the water. I asked the students this morning if they could think of anybody in the Bible who was in heaven but was not baptized. Anybody remember the dude? The man on the cross next to Jesus. Jesus made an assurance to him. He makes a statement. This thief makes a statement that is incredible. One is railing on Jesus. If you be the Son of God, get off the cross and get us down too. And the guy tells him, he says, don't you understand? We're being punished for our sins. And justly so. We have sinned. And we're receiving punishment for it. This man has done nothing. And he turns to Jesus and he says, Lord, there's a key for us. Not only do we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe God has raised Him from the dead, we live a life that says, Lord, You're Lord. You're not just Christ, You're Lord. Lord, remember me when You come into Your kingdom. And what did Jesus tell him? Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There was no baptism. Jesus bowed his head. He gave up the ghost. And the man is still alive. Jesus has died. That means sin has been paid for. Yes, amen. The man over here has to have his legs broke. And they don't dunk him before they break his legs. Baptism is an action that you do. Baptism is something that you do. And I don't want people to think that it's a work that I do. Because we don't get to heaven. We're not saved by works. We are saved by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. Baptism is a sign of what Jesus has already done in your life. Spiritually, you were dead. You came to Jesus. He made you alive. And now you tell the world, Jesus died, so did I. Jesus raised, so was I. My faith in Jesus Christ has taught me and brought me to this place where I will remember what He did in my life. And the world around me needs to know what He did in my life. It wasn't good. It wasn't easy for a Jew to say that. When you were a son of Abraham, when you held the doctrines of the Torah, the teaching of the Old Testament, when suddenly you became a disciple of Christ, Lord, you might lose your job, you might lose your house, you might lose your business, you might even lose your family. While I was in Maryland, I was a youth pastor at a church there in Veers Mill, Maryland, and we went out one Saturday evening and we met a Jewish guy in the park there in where we were at in Maryland, and we talked to him, and the guy I was with led him to the Lord. And we got to talking together because I was kind of concerned about where is he? We don't see him in church. You know, he needs to get in here so to be discipled. And he began to tell me the horror story of him going home because we told him, you need to tell somebody. You need to tell somebody what Jesus. He went home and he told his mom and his dad. And now he's dead to the family. My friend told me his family has given him up. He's no longer part of their family because he has become a Christian within an Orthodox Jewish family. When you became a Christian, it meant something. We have a problem with that today. We take the name of Jesus and we say, I am a Christian, I am a follower of Christ. But yet when the world sees you, you look just like they do. What is this Christian all about? You look just like I do. Well, why should I go and do what you're doing when you're doing the same thing that we're doing? It's a problem. And the Holy Spirit is calling people out one more time. Be ye holy as I am holy. Come ye out from among them. Touch not the unclean thing. And I will be your God. Having therefore these precious promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is beginning to deal with people again. You can't live like the world and call yourself a Christian. It cannot be done. It's just, I get like Sue saying, why didn't they teach us this? We've kind of got away from that teaching. We need to recapture it. Christ wants us to live a specific way, because it's the way of life. It's the way of peace. Now, and it can go absolutely insane. What God is asking you to do is to examine your life, and the Holy Spirit will tell you. It's what He does. He's the paraclete. He's the one called alongside. He's the one that will guide you into all truth. There's so many things that we call years ago and still someplace, so many things that they say are sin. The Bible says nothing about that. But there are things that are just bad and God doesn't want you to do them. I've told people before, if I stand up here and I tell you don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, you go looking for another church. Why? Because he just meddles too much. That's my business. But when the Holy Spirit gets in your heart and he begins to tell you that what you're doing is not glorifying me. If you didn't do that, it would bring me more glory. I'll tell you, all the grace and power in heaven is there to help you overcome whatever it is. Amen? Amen. Grace. Grace will get you over the hump in so many ways, in so many things. But God wants you to live a special kind of life. Oh, if I become a Christian, I'm just going to have this big frown all the time and no, you ain't never going to have no fun. And all we're going to do is go to church and pray all day long. And then I can't go to do this and I can't. No, just. No, that's not the way it is. Has anybody in this building lived one exciting day since they came to Jesus? Has anybody? Yeah. Amen. Amen. It's all about it. It's all about it. You want to live an exciting life, challenging life, live for Jesus for a while. Woo! Yeah. Amen. If you really want to go over to Iran and Iraq and Syria and live with the Christians over there, you want to live really exciting lives. Yeah. Amen. It's not a work. We are not saved by baptism. Christ is the one that saved me. But now I identify with Him. I tell the world, Jesus is my Savior, and this is why. We dunk, we don't sprinkle. For one simple reason, the word that is used there in the Greek language means to submerge. It means to put underwater. Remember I said that churches sometimes begin to teach and sometimes it's just too hard to do? Do you understand how easy baptism would be if all I had to have up here today was a little table with a basin of water? And we could bring our 6 or 8 or 10 candidates, however there many are, if we could just bring them up there and say, bend over and I'll hold you and I'm going to sprinkle water on your head and you're going to be baptized. Rather than get out the horse trough, Get the spiders out of the bottom, because they'll be there. We got to wash the spiders out. We got to put really good cold water in there. Bob's got to go get the ice cubes. Put the ice cubes in there. We got to go through that whole thing just so we can dunk you. No. The Bible says Jesus, when Jesus came up out of the water, behold, the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove and did not depart from him. Well, Philip the evangelist, I love this guy. I don't know an evangelist in the world right now that would go away from a big old meeting like he was having. People getting saved, healed, demons getting cast out. Man, that's the kind of revival you want. And then God says, I want you to give this to somebody else, and you go, here. You got to really love the Lord. Let me tell you, I don't think there's 1 out of 100 evangelists would leave that meeting that's going like that to go somewhere else. He went down to Gaza, way southeast of where he was at. And on his way down, he saw the Ethiopian eunuch. Maybe you know this story. If not, just hang tough for a minute. He met this Ethiopian eunuch. He was a African-American a servant of Queen Candace. And he's up there in his chariot reading a book. And the scriptures say in Acts chapter 8, he was reading the gospel or the book of Isaiah. And Philip joined himself to the chariot. And Philip asked him, and this is, to me, this is the words of knowledge. He might have just got up there and looked over his shoulder. I don't know. But he just walked up and he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch told him, he says, I don't know. He says, is this talking about Isaiah or is some other person? So Philip got up into the chariot with him. They took off and he shared the gospel riding along with this Ethiopian. It came to baptism and they found water. They found some water. And the eunuch asked him, said, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? Philip told him, he says, if you really honestly believe in your heart, you can be baptized. It says they got out, and Philip and the eunuch going down into the water. It doesn't say anything about the sprinkly stuff. That was a teaching of a church. That was a teaching of religion saying it's just much easier if we do it this way. And beside, we're going to start baptizing babies, so it's hard. You may go to jail, you take your baby and you shove it underwater and you take it back out. It's easier just to sprinkle it. I believe if you want to be baptized like the disciples were baptized, I believe that you are down in the water. You are buried with Him and you are raised with Him. And so we are baptized. Sometimes during baptismal services, and I've seen this, there's kind of a spirit of baptism that just kind of begins to move, and people say, baptize me too, I want to be baptized. And they may not be ready, and I won't do that, and unless I know them and know a little bit about them, but sometimes people just get all, evidently down south one day that happened. And a man came out of the congregation. He stood there and the preacher asked him, he says, do you believe? And the guy said, no. Well, I'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ and peel him out. And he says, do you believe? And he says, no, I don't believe. And he shoved him down there again, took him out again. Do you believe? Well, I don't believe. He pulled him in there one more time. He says, do you believe? He said, yes, I believe. He said, I believe you're trying to drown me. Is what. We go down into the water. And when we go into the water, we are telling the world that old rugged cross that was on a hill far away. My Savior died right there on that cross. And they removed His body from that cross and they brought Him to a tomb that wasn't even His. And they buried Him. And now I am unified with Him in His death and in His burial. And I believe that on the third day a tomb could not hold him. But early on the morning of that third day, there came an earthquake, and an angel came from heaven and rolled the stone away, and Jesus walked out, never to die again. And I believe that that was my Savior. And now I join with Him in that fact. I believe that it is an ordinance of the church. I believe that disciples practice that ordinance. I believe that baptism does not save, it just identifies you. I believe in baptism by immersion. And let me very briefly touch on the last one. We don't baptize infants. We dedicate infants. Jim and Don are here, and I saw Macy in the paper the other day, and Braden. They were at the county fair, and they had won ribbons for their 4-H project. And I looked at Macy, how big she is. And I remember standing here with this little bitty bundle of stuff here as we dedicated her, and Mom and Dad and Grandma and Grandpa. We dedicate children to the Lord. More correctly, we dedicate the parents to the Lord to raise this child. I was baptized in a church that believed that if babies were baptized, then the original sin of Adam and Eve was taken away. The act of baptism washed away sin. The Bible doesn't say that. It says because by faith we're saved. By faith we're saved. By what Jesus did, our sin is washed away. But they believed that, and if a child was to die before that happened, they went to a place called limbo. And limbo was just a place where they were. There was no pain, but there was no joy. There was just limbo. That's where the babies are at. But the Bible doesn't teach that. I believe in, and I trust in a merciful God, that if something, God forbid, happens to that little baby, as happens often, that they go to be with Jesus. He loves them that much. They're in heaven. They haven't had a chance to do wrong in the sense that they're doing wrong in their hearts, in their minds. So we don't baptize babies. We don't sprinkle babies. And that's the reason why. We believe that when someone comes and stands up and said, I am a follower of Jesus Christ because I have confessed my sin to Him. He has forgiven me, and now I want to go to that place where I am put in the water and taken back out because I want to tell the world this is what Jesus did, and He did it for me. And so we baptize. One of the greatest teachings that Jesus gave to us, the Last Supper, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. When you're making disciples, how do you do it? You're baptizing them and you're teaching them. This is what it needs to be done. So there are 8 or 10 today that are saying, yeah, I want to follow that pattern. I want to go that way. And if God this morning, if you've never been baptized, if you have listened to what I've said and God has touched you and you say, you know, Pastor, I'd like to do that sometime. How about 3 o'clock this afternoon? Amen. Bring another set of swimming trunks and a towel and we'll baptize you. I'll talk to you before, make sure you understand what's going on, but we'll baptize you that you can follow Jesus. Do you want to follow Jesus today? You who have been baptized already, you still want to follow Jesus. You that have followed Jesus for multiples of years, you still want to follow Jesus. You young person or old person that has only known Jesus for months, maybe a year or two, you want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. So He becomes Lord of my life. Let me end with this. Christ's mission coming to this earth was to die for our sins, to make the payment that no human being could make except Him. He was human, but through his body flowed the blood of God. The God-man, he came to sacrifice. He came to show us what God was like. This God who is willing to forgive you of your sins. This God who is willing to heal your body. This God who is willing to listen to your prayer and to listen to your pleas at the very throne of grace. Jesus came. But you know, that only really is effective. That only is reality is if He is Lord of my life. He can be Savior, but not your Lord. And if He's not your Lord, then I don't know about being your Savior. Amen? He's got to be Lord. What He says goes. What His teaching is, I do. He is in control. He's driving my bus. Let me ask you this morning if that's really who He is in your life. Or has He been relegated to something less? If He has, when we pray, would you be willing to tell Him from the very depths of your heart, Lord, forgive me for giving You the back seat. Come and be the driver. I'm just going to sit here and go where You go. Do what You do. Say what You say. Be who You want me to be. Father, I thank You this morning. I thank You, Lord, for men and women who have said, yes, I will follow Jesus in baptism. I thank You for them. I thank You, Lord, for the boldness of the step they're going to take. I thank You, Lord, for those who have been baptized. They have followed You in Your baptism. And they have been raised to newness of life, sins forgiven. I thank You, Lord, for the body of Christ, who through these things, the reliance on Your death for salvation, for those who gather together because we have gone through the same process. We have gone through the same steps of becoming a child of God. People who are of like faith, who have stood at one time or another and said, Jesus, I believe You, that You died for my sins. And I accept what You did for me. And now, Lord, I give You me, my life, everything that I am. I thank You, Lord, for those. I thank You, Lord, for those that are praying that right now. I thank You, Lord, that You have brought us together to be the family of God. And Lord, You didn't make us all the same. We are stones shaped different. But You have done with us what You had to do to build us up, the body of Christ, a holy church with Christ as its head. Lord, let us see and to love one another as brothers and sisters, not as just friends, acquaintances, church members, but truly brothers and sisters. Give us a sense of the responsibility it is to take care of my brother and my sister in their need, to always be there when their need reaches out to us, to always say yes when their request comes to our ears. I thank You for those who have made that decision. Father, bless Your people. Heal Your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have made in your heart of hearts, maybe not said anything, but in your heart of hearts, you've said, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord. I want to talk to you about that a little bit before you go home. Okay, share some Bible with you and things. If you need healing in your body, I want you to come. There'll be people to pray here with you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet, please? Before we pray for Christian and for the others that are coming, Sean just told me that God has really laid the families and friends of the 9/11 victims on his heart. Could we pray for them right now? Could we just pray? Father, we would have never thought in this great nation that such an act of horror could happen. But Lord, every one of us have been touched by the horrendous acts of this day 15 years ago. So many families that had their hearts ripped out of them. So many families that will never be the same again because of what happened on that day. Lord, I'm asking in your mercy and in your grace that you would just pour out on them love. Love that they don't understand. Love that doesn't make sense. Lord, just love them. Hold them up and give them strength this day. This day is going to be so hard for so many. Lord, just hold them up. Whisper your love to them in Jesus' name. Heal our nation, Lord. Heal our nation. We have opened up our nation to that source of evil because we have forgotten you. We've turned our back on you. Help us. Forgive us, Lord. Restore us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. I would just bless you this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.